McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to uncover the truth behind many of the current events happening, unfortunately, all around us here in the United States of America and across planet Earth. The coronavirus, supposedly, most likely, originating from Wuhan, China, a level 4 biological warfare laboratory, the highest rating that there is. And we've seen what they call the first wave of this, and I don't know if we're seeing the second wave or the second wave is coming or whatever. It's amazing how so many things that appear to be accidental just keep coming together over and over again. You know, regarding this virus and its origins, the timing of it. And it's like it came on cue, you know, the expression they used to use in the media business a long time ago, being on cue, it was set up, it was ready to go, everything was ready. All they had to do was press a button, so to speak. So how is that possible? Now, if you're a student of the Bible, if you're a student of Bible prophecy, it is absolutely uncanny. It's absolutely amazing how the current events line up. And the current events are lining up with Bible prophecy, specifically the book of Revelation and other books, and specifically this emerging. I used to, when I first began writing and speaking, I used to call it the coming. Recently, I still was calling it the coming one world government, one world religion, one world economic system. I said that to try to soften it just a tad because it was too intense for a lot of people to hear that, you know, a one-world government, one-world economic system, one-world religion was emerging all around us. I mean, people did not like you in many circles, and especially Christian circles. So I simply said the coming. I wasn't copping out. I was simply trying to make it. I was trying to, for most people, including the average Christian, the idea of a global system was, you know, that was something only the people at the Council on Foreign Relations, Rockefeller's think tank, that's the way they thought. But in reality, it's the way an elite that rule this planet think. They want a one-world government. They want a one-world economic system, and they want a one-world religion. What is interesting about that is that this is exactly what the Bible predicts in Bible prophecy, and specifically in the book of Revelation and other areas. That is the return of Mystery Babylon. And once again, Babylon was the world's greatest empire originally. And it was founded by Nimrod. And that's where the Tower of Babel was built, that pyramid-shaped tower that ascended into the stars. All occurred in ancient Babylon. And when we read the book of Genesis, we discover that ancient Babylon is also the location of the world's first one-world government, one-world religion, one-world economic system, which God judges because of its Luciferian dimension. And so this global system is judged. But at the same time, in Bible prophecy, God warns through his word that this mystery Babylon, this Babylonian global system, will return again in the last days. And God will judge it. and you read about how Babylon has fallen. It's fallen. And it's called the Great Harlot, or the Great Whore, obviously. She represents this world system. And it's also tied in to this world system, occultism, and religion. Wherever you see the worship of the goddess religion, this comes from ancient Babylon. It goes all the way back to Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, and why you see so many particular kind of female holding a torch or whatever, really occultism, etc., that represents the goddess. That goes back to Semiramis, the goddess religions. So it's not a Christian symbol. It's an occultic pagan symbol. So this is what is rising, this new world order, which is the one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, is rising even further. I mean, it's been going for a while, but it's kind of an illusion in that most people don't realize to what degree we're already in this global system. And this coronavirus becomes a great excuse, so to speak, for the highest level globalists to orchestrate their global plan. And their global plan is not designed, as they say it is, for the benefit of everybody. It's designed for the benefit of the elite, or the 1%, being the 1% of the population that controls 99% of the resources, the very elite and super wealthy. And the game plan was to, really, since ancient Babylon, the game plan has been to keep the masses in an illusion or a delusion or whatever you want to call it, like in a hypnotic state or a trance. This is part of the ancient Babylonian mystery religion. The power and ability and knowledge of how to do this to the masses originated in ancient Babylon. And it perpetuates to this day because the fountainhead of its power is satanic or Luciferian. It's a Luciferian energy, Luciferian wisdom, that is demonic. And that's why it always, whenever it emerges, what goes along with it is not only chaos and destruction, but an open rebellion and hatred for Bible, Christianity, Judaism, Christian religion. The head of Antifa said that Christianity and symbols of religion and churches should be viewed, I'm paraphrasing, should be viewed like the statues. They should be torn down. What did he mean by that? They should be viewed in the same way. Was that a threat of destruction? I mean, according to their ideology and actions, church would be a target. for destruction. People better wake up in our nation quickly. I'm talking about very quickly. If people even knew a tiny speck of history, they could go back, not even that far, they could go back 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, whatever. And you go back to the French Revolution and the so-called peaceful French and their civilized society, etc., and how the anarchists took over, and there was it's like a first communist revolution was, the French Revolution was the mother of communist revolution. Violence in the streets, anarchy, murders, beheadings, orgies in the churches for the purpose of lawlessness and rebellion and a hatred of Christianity. What goes along, by the way, if any of these pastors would actually read history, they would understand that their neck is in the noose, whether they realize it or not. And we have seen through the coronavirus just how quickly things can change, like practically overnight. And when you have a mass mob hysteria being financed by a super wealthy elite, and then you see the resultant anarchy, etc., in the streets. And, of course, to perpetuate a greater lie, there has to be some truth in it. Any lie that has the power to deceive has to have some kind of truth in it, or it wouldn't have any ability to deceive. And so you distort America, American history, you distort it and warp it and make it something that it was not, so that you can create a horrific totalitarian future, but people won't recognize they're marching gleefully into this totalitarian future because they're brainwashed. They're mind controlled. They actually think they're going into like a workers' paradise or whatever you want to call it. And you know, the people that should know better don't, because if they knew better, they would know that these communist, socialist, humanist revolutions, beginning with the French Revolution. So we're going back. Well, we're going back to Babylon, but prior to that, we're going back around 200 plus years. The Illuminati was officially formed in 1776, same year of the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. Very interesting. The Illuminati Manifesto was written and published about 50 or so years before Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. So obviously Karl Marx got his ideas for communism directly from the Illuminati, because we have a paper trail. I write about that in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1, and A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, the two books. And The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, in depth, in a fast-moving way, so you can grasp it. It's not long and boring. Believe me, I promise you that. There's nothing more powerful than being able to see through the lies and the illusions and the propaganda and be free in your mind, heart, and soul. Now, the source of all that is the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Spirit of Truth. But we are in a last days spiritual battle outlined and predicted in numerous passages in the Bible and Bible prophecy from Genesis to Revelation. And so there's a prophetic dimension to this spiritual battle. The prophetic dimension is that in the invisible realm or the spiritual world, there is a raging war between the demons and God's angels and God and Satan and mankind are involved in this, whether mankind is intellectually aware of it or not, still involved in the spiritual battle, whether or not you acknowledge it. And so all of this is predicted in the Bible, that in the last days before the return of Jesus Christ to planet Earth, that there would be all these prophetic signs erupting. And the prophetic super sign, the one that was, that has been the biggest sign of the return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. The prophetic super sign is the return of the Jews to Israel in 1948. That was God fulfilling his covenant with Israel and the physical descendants of Abraham to give them the physical land of Israel as an everlasting covenant. So as we recall, when Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples, and he was speaking to his disciples, and behind his disciples was Herod's magnificent temple, the temple of Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ was prophesying about how that temple would be torn down in a relatively short period as a prophecy. And so, not that long after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, the Roman general Titus invaded Jerusalem, and his soldiers just totally destroyed the temple, just tore it down brick by brick, the gold turning into a mold, liquid gold, down the streets because of the heat of the fire, and then the Jews were either killed or sold into slavery and sent all around the world from that time period, the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, the critical thing is that the Jews were sold into slavery to all the four corners of the earth. And so the Jews were disconnected physically from the land of Israel for about 2,000 years. Usually nations or ethnic groups or cultures and even racial groups to whatever degree, they don't stay in some kind of united fashion. They disperse among the nations. It's very unique that Israel and Jerusalem that still has, definitely not living up to the Old Testament, but America is not living up to the New Testament. So, but the thing is that by God's sovereign election, he chooses to use Israel. And Israel is God's prophetic supersign in the last days. So Israel is reborn after about 2,000 years of the Jews being dispersed from the land of Israel. And then you've seen all these conflicts happening, predicted in the Bible, like the 1967 Six-Day War and other conflicts in the Middle East and other key nations in the Middle East that are written about in Bible prophecy, such as Iran, Russia, Egypt, Libya, and then Lebanon, and on and on. Many different nations listed in Bible prophecy. And then the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And one of those horsemen represents a pale horse, which represents like a biological plague. And then the global elite using, because they operate on an occult operating principle called order out of chaos. That was the Freemasonic principle, order out of chaos, which comes from Latin. And that's where you get the expressions, never let a good crisis or chaos go to waste, or manufactured crisis or chaos. Right now we have a crisis or chaos. We have a continual series of crisis or chaos events designed to re-engineer, socially re-engineer the society. People don't whine and complain about radical changes if they think that their lives are being spared or saved or they're going to be protected somehow. And people are very, history shows us that people are very susceptible to being lied to. And they believe the big lie over and over again. So this COVID-19 virus and the whole the way it has shut down all the organization of so much manpower, media, medical, just on and on and on, dealing with this coronavirus, and then the laws for social distancing, and quarantine, and who can open and who can't open, and infection and masks and all the rest of the stuff. So you have that going on, but buried not so deep. That buried, I wish it was buried deep, but it's not buried all that deep. You start to read about the vaccination schemes. And the first scheme being that there's billions and billions to be made off of a vaccination. They're not rushing to develop the best thing to keep you from getting the coronavirus or something like that. They want the one they can own so they can make money off of it. The only reason they're shooting down the drug that Trump and so many celebrities have secretly been taking, news media icons have secretly been taking. They've been all taking the original drug that Trump was taking. That's why Trump wasn't wearing a mask. None of these people were worried about getting the coronavirus, because the other medication that had been out for like 40 or 50 years, and people used it for all kinds of applications, worked well. So all these other ones, the only reason to make them is to make something that you can control and copyright, patent, and own. And then you can make billions. If you can't make billions on a drug that's been around for 40 or 50 years. So in addition to that, there's all kinds of ulterior motives. Why the desire to gain access to your DNA? Or your child's DNA. rumors and questions. And the dust hasn't settled yet. There are a lot of rumors that are like crazy talk, and there's a lot of rumors that sound like crazy talk that are not so crazy. The talk about a vaccine modifying DNA or containing a nanochip implant. So the vaccine can be turned into a ultra mass surveillance device, potentially. Because you already have a mechanism of mass surveillance, tracking everyone, or allegedly tracking everyone. You know, people are being hired for anywhere from $24 an hour to 100 plus. It depends on the location, how bad they need people. To be trackers. And they I don't know exactly how it works, except they're hired to track people they think are spreading or potentially spreading the COVID virus. And they can talk with people through interviews. They can access phone numbers people have called. And most invasively, they can peer in via the GPS in your car and phone and laptop and stuff. They can see where you were and when you were, and they can see if you were talking with a person or meeting with a group of people. They can tell whether you were violating the social distance. That's where this really goes. See? Depends what kind of state you live in. If you live in a red state or a blue state, there seems to be two different sets of rules. And I know some of you are saying, well, why don't you move to a red state? Things are not always that easy. That's a short answer. The other is, when you make a commitment to people in a certain area, as a minister, you make a commitment to a community and to people, you just can't sever that. You have to do what the Lord's calling you to do. So the thing is that potentially they could, if the contact tracers, if you had a small church or a medium church or whatever, meeting in rooms or whatever, and let's say when they did that, it was illegal, because the law has changed here a bunch of times. Legal, illegal, legal, illegal. It's illegal at the moment. So let's say you have churches meeting in certain places and they violate the law. Well, the foolish thing is that you're tracked. So if somebody was to get sick or think they got sick or accuse whoever of, well, that's where I got it. Of course, people will test it and stuff, but you can say anything. Well, so a contact tracer can, in a quick period of minutes, just open a GPS of the building or whatever. And every phone number of every cell phone of every person in that building will show up on a computer screen. A computer screen that can be as large as your cell phone. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you see it in these spy movies and crime investigation shows, etc., police shows. I was watching something. I don't know what I was watching. It was something along this line. And the person got the building or whatever by satellite, and then they could see every person in the interior of the structure through thermal imaging, satellite photography, but also every cell phone number, came up on the screen. And so that's, and then you can open up another page and the cell phone number will tell you the name and owner of the cell phone. So there's an electronic data trail of everywhere that you go. Now, we have a constitutional right to freedom of religion and freedom of assembly and freedom of speech and freedom of the press. There's no way there isn't a flashing of the need for legitimate containment of physical areas which cause the rapid spread and transmission of something like the coronavirus. I believe that everyone should have an intelligent response to the coronavirus. There's still people walking around actually saying that there's no such thing as the coronavirus. Well, those people are crazy. They need to do their homework. There's a ton of disinformation on the coronavirus. Yes, absolutely. And there's fake data, fake news everywhere on it. But the critical thing to understand here is that we have entered, because of the coronavirus, we have entered a world of deeper and more accelerated mass electronic surveillance than ever before. So while this is happening, then you have the outbreaks of the riots and the shootings on both sides of the fence and anarchy and plundering and breaking into stores and stealing and charges of racism and the disbanding of police departments, which is really insane. Anybody who's lived in a city, what are you, crazy? When I was a kid or a teenager growing up in New York City, the citizens of New York City would have been out in the streets if they started slashing the police departments in every neighborhood. But you have people that want the deliberate plan destabilization of society because their goal is to topple it. A lot of people can't wrap their heads around that. They don't want it to, well, they don't want to see that for what it is. You know, they it's like when two people are romantically in love, then depending upon the situation, you know, they're enamored with each other. They're, each one is flawless in each other's eyes. But that doesn't last forever. I don't care how in love you were or whatever. It's in human nature, it doesn't last forever. Marriages have up and downs. People don't stay on a honeymoon high for their entire lives. So once the honeymoon of all the false promises from all the politicians who are promising to take care of everything, spend endless amounts of money that they don't have, those promises are going to collapse violently and there'll be mass anarchy and violence in the streets. I hate to say it so bluntly, but you better hold on to your hat. Because if you have millions and millions of people who believe they're entitled, they expect, or there will be looting and rioting. And I'm not talking about just one race. I'm talking about every race and ethnic group. And you don't want that to happen in a nation. You don't want a fascist state either, like Adolf Hitler. but you also don't want mass anarchy. It's a balance. There's a tension there. The danger here is that we have big players, super billionaires, financing these demonstrations, hiring Marxists who've been trained in social revolution. Read my book on Mass Awakening. Doug Hagman was kind enough to write the foreword of the book for me. Mass Awakening deals with that in America, we're either going to have a mass evil awakening or a mass awakening, like a biblical great awakening. But right now, unless God's people rise, the darkness, spiritual darkness, is rising. And we are not supposed to be asleep at the wheel, pretending we didn't see it. Remember, the Jews learned a bitter lesson. They kept saying, every time they heard a rumor that there were concentration camps and the people were getting gassed to death and tortured and killed in the concentration camps, they kept denying it. They were in denial. They kept saying, oh, that can't happen here. That can't happen here. Well, all the while they were saying it can't happen here, it was happening in Nazi Germany with Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust. He murdered millions of Jews and non-Jews, gassed them to death, tortured, everything else, while the Jews were saying it can't happen here, and the rest of the world was denying it. The lesson they learned is that today the Jews don't use the word, it can't happen here. You don't hear Jews saying that, because they got smart. They learned a very dangerous, painful lesson. Okay, so the Jews don't wander around in denial anymore. They're hypervigilant as a culture. And no culture should expect to survive if it's not hypervigilant. But what the Jews say, and I've met with some high-level rabbis, etc., what the Jews say, and in John, I grew up in the Jewish neighborhood, what the Jews say is now they say, never again. Never again. See, they've learned their lesson. So now they stay in hypervigilance and they're organized around never again. We will never allow another Adolf Hitler and Holocaust to occur. We will do whatever it takes to stop it. And they are fervently united around that principle, and they act on that principle, and they function on that principle. And because they operate around that principle and function on that principle, they are able to survive as a nation in some of the most hostile territory on planet Earth. I mean, they have nations with nukes pointed at them all over the place and terrorists all over the place that want to blow a hole in the Earth and move Israel from it. So Christians in America, because they have been left alone traditionally, Christians. I shouldn't say that. That's not true. Because in Europe, we had persecution of Protestants from the Catholics. And if you weren't a Catholic, there was tremendous persecution in Europe. That's why the Pilgrims and Puritans came here. But inside of America in the last, I don't know, 200 years, up until recently, Christians were pretty well, didn't experience persecution because it was a so-called Christian nation. But see, times have changed. They're not changing now. They changed in the 60s and 70s with the sexual revolution and everything else. But the acceleration of the change and the total rejection of Christianity, that is happening faster and faster and more intense. And I can tell you with mathematical, historical accuracy that there will be churches in America that will be violently attacked, burned to the ground, etc. And symbols of Christianity and Judaism. Notice that it's fairly likely that no Muslim institution will be attacked. Notice that. And ask yourself why. Many of you know why. Well, first of all, part of the reason Christians are soft targets and are going to get attacked, and churches are going to get attacked, etc., is because they don't recognize that there's a war, that's a war been declared against them, and that these people are serious. They want to destroy Christianity. And they know how to organize a mob and mobs, and they have hundreds of millions of dollars being secretly pumped into them by the super capitalists. So the critical thing to understand here is that you saw and continue to see the hysteria, the statues. I mean, for crying out loud, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, and they tried to pull down his statue. In some cases, they did. Other people who freed the slaves and stood strongly against slavery, their statues were smashed to the ground, etc. And there was open anarchy, totally open anarchy, because the real purpose wasn't just attacking so-called racist, Confederate generals or whatever. That was not their target. Their role was to destroy any symbol of America. It wasn't just a racial Confederate thing, because they tore down the statues and symbols and stuff of known men who stood against racism and slavery, and they stood for civil rights. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. In a moment, we'll be back, and I want to expose to you something that has been hidden from people, and I want to expose it to the light. So stay with me as we journey together on the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. One way you can help us spread the message and the contents of this program is to send it to people that need to hear it with your, check this out or whatever. So send the link of this program and our other media at paulmcguire.us. We have a whole bunch of social media platforms, including the Roku channel, Paul McGuire Ministries, where I have many hours of preaching and teaching on Bible prophecy and the Bible, all free, and lots of archives of the video prophetic emergency alerts, and join the YouTube channel, Facebook page, and all our social media, which is at paulmcguire.us, and all kinds of podcasting. Okay, and Instagram that I'm just playing. I just started to play with it. Okay. So we have the coronavirus. And the coronavirus is linked deliberately to a vaccine. The vaccine is connected to potentially DNA modification and a nanochip implant. The nanochip implant required to prove electronically that you've gotten the vaccine functions, or potentially functions, if it goes this way, potentially functions as a kind of mark of the B666 mechanism. But the mark of the B666 in Revelation 13, you can't buy or sell or participate in the global economic system unless you have a microchip implant on your forehead or your your right hand. Could be a nanochip or biochip implant. And let me read you Revelation 13, because the wording is critical. And what it says is, in Revelation 13, verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. So he is the false prophet. There's two beasts, the false prophet and the Antichrist. The false prophet is in charge of the global economic system, the mark of the beast, and the global religion. So when it says he was granted power, that's the false prophet, to give breath to the image of the beast, that image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, what's interesting about this is he has the false prophet has the supernatural power to get people to worship the image of the beast, but they're not actually worshiping the beast. This is critical here. They're worshiping the image of the beast. And I've heard some absolutely ridiculous theories about what the image of the beast is. But the image of the beast could be. I'm not saying anything definitively because the Bible doesn't say it definitively. The image of the beast could be some kind of virtual reality image. Artificial reality image, projection, a holographic projection, a 3D projection, some technology, cyborg technology, artificial intelligence technology, robot, android. They're already manufacturing lifelike robots. So it's not too hard to conceive that you could create a replication of somebody's original body and face and upload their consciousness into their artificial body. That's what this could be talking about. Something along the post-human agenda and artificial intelligence, etc. Okay, so they're worshiping the image of the beast, obviously on a global level. And then it says, verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, his number is 666. Okay, so first thing we need to know is that if you want to participate in the economic system, the global economic system, if you want to buy or sell, if you want to get food or whatever, you have to have this technology, the mark of the beast, some kind of implant. In order to get this nanochip implant in you so you can buy or sell, you have to renounce Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you have to publicly profess that you're going to worship the Antichrist as God and declare that the Antichrist is God. That's a pretty heavy thing, okay? So what happens is people get the mark of the beast if they renounce Jesus and pledge to worship the Antichrist. And it says in verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, 666. And anyone who stands there and refuses to renounce Jesus Christ as Lord, or refuses the mark of the beast, they will be beheaded. Odd, but that's what Revelation says. And then, if they did choose to reject Jesus Christ as Savior, well, let me read to you what happens. In Revelation 14, verse 6, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water.' And another angel followed, saying, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine, the wrath of her fornication.' And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.'" So we see here that there is an incredible severity of punishment by the false prophet. If you refuse to receive the mark of the beast, then you're beheaded. But if you choose to receive the mark of the beast and renounce Jesus Christ and pledge to worship the Antichrist, if you do that, if you choose to worship the beast in his image, and you choose to receive his mark on your forehead, then it says in verse 10, God himself, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Why? Why do they have no rest day or night? Because they worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name, 666. This is the punishment for receiving the mark of the beast, 666. So you could see the content. You have the World Economic Forum. You have the giant globalist conference in Davao. Again, with WEF. And then you have the World Health Organization, which is in the pockets of the globalist elite. And that's part of the United Nations, which was created by the globalist elite. And they're using the coronavirus and stirring up racial hatred and stuff to create chaos and disorder so they can railroad in their one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. Now, here's the critical question. The question that every Christian needs to ask, well, how do I fit into this? And I'm going to give you the fastest theological answer I can. Not necessarily the best, but the fastest. It basically comes down to two theological opinions. Even though there are numerous positions regarding the timing of the rapture. Now, I had the privilege of, I'm holding up a New King James Holy Bible, leather Bible on my hands in the studio. And it's called the Spirit-Filled Life Bible for Students, New King James Version. Executive editor, Jack W. Hayford. And this is the original edition, the big one. If you get this, this is a great book for learning the Bible. But don't get the other years where they printed this because they changed it. I had the privilege, and my name is in the contributors, I had the privilege of writing a huge part of what were called the Word, Wealth, and In-Text Notes of the Bible. And you'll see them just about on every other page. My notes from Genesis to Revelation. But I wrote these with what was in my heart was to reach people that were alienated from religion. So in this, because this sold so well, but then they had their marketing people, they wanted a smaller one, and they minimized the notes and stuff, and it wasn't... That had nothing to do with it. They took all the punch out of it. So if you get this for students, you'll see my name in it. Not in giant letters, but I'm the main contributor for a number of things. So anyway, it was a blessing. It took me a year to write all the notes, or close to a year. And then, of course, working with my spiritual father, Jack Hayford. One of my spiritual fathers, Jack Hayford, was a great blessing. Okay, so you see that there are many, let's call them theories or beliefs, about the timing of the rapture. And the rapture simply means this, you know, arpazio, this violent removal. Of a person from planet Earth before the Lord returns to be delivered from the wrath to come. Okay. Now, there are many theological beliefs regarding the timing of the rapture. I don't want to get into all of it, but I just want to point out a few common ones. And I also wrote a lot of notes on this. Okay, so we have, for example, what's called the premillennial, pre-tribulational view. That's probably probably the most popular view in America. I don't know if it still is, but that's the view of people like Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye and Grant Jeffrey and many, many others. And I've interviewed all these men in person, Chuck Missler and others on my program. So you have a very large segment of Bible prophecy teachers that hold to a premillennial, pre-tribulation view. That means the church, essentially it means that the church gets removed before before the seven-year tribulation period begins and before the Antichrist is revealed. Then another view is the premillennial, post-tribulation view. And that means believers are not raptured at the very beginning of the tribulation. This means that all believers are raptured at the end of the Great Tribulation. And the rapture and the second coming is one event. So this you could just say this is a post. The first one was a pre-tribulation rapture. Now, this one here is a post-tribulation rapture. When I was hosting the End of the Age conference for Pat Robertson a number of years ago, and speaking there as well, even though I held a different position, Pat Robertson had a very, very strong, and still does to this day, but we see we don't break fellowship over the rapture, but he got up and he called it, he called the pre-tribulation rapture ridiculous. He called it a magic carpet theory ride. Okay, well, that's, you know, his opinion. And then you have people like Chuck Missler and Hal Lindsey and others, and so many, Doc B. Shore and others who are pre-trib. And I have been friends with all of these people, despite the fact that they have very divergent views on the rapture, or if there is technically a rapture. And then you have what's called the pre-wrath rapture position, or which is somewhat similar to the mid-tribulation rapture, and that is the church gets raptured 3.5 years into the tribulation period. Okay, you will know soon enough which rapture is the biblical rapture. So I'm not worried about that. Okay, my job is to do what God wants me to do, to occupy until He comes, to win souls for Christ. The whole purpose of this ministry is not to tell people precisely what year the rapture is occurring. The purpose of this ministry is to win souls for Jesus Christ, teach and preach the Word of God, to give seed for pre-evangelism, to present a worldview and equip God's people to spiritually occupy until the Lord returns. And to shine the light of Jesus Christ into a dark world and save souls. That's why Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church exists. Now, and we exist because of your prayers, your partnership in spreading our links, and because you seek the Lord and you donate financially and you contribute financially. All of that makes it possible for us to obey God's commission together. Okay, so we have the mid-tribulation view, which I mentioned, which is that the believers are raptured 3.5 years into the tribulation period. Then there's other lesser-known ones. I won't read them because there's many, the pre-wrath rapture view, Marv Rosenthal and others, evangelical post-millennial view, St. Augustine's amillennial view, a second amillennial view. Because in some of the views, they don't believe in a literal 7-year tribulation period. They believe that the tribulation period's age long. Okay, so here's the bottom line. There are a lot of things we don't know for sure right now. Okay? We think, but I want to be busy about my Father's, I want to be obedient. I want to be busy about my Father's business, about Jesus' business. And the critical thing is that we are in a period now. We really need to see this. What's happening in our country, America, is so severe because it's going to spread around in the world. You're seeing kind of like a mental fascism. You're seeing an all-out attack in the beginnings of this censorship, an attack, a serious attack on the Church of Jesus Christ in America and other places in the world. God's prophetic destiny for America is that it would continue to preach the gospel. I really believe that's what the Lord wants. What's the problem then? The problem is when you have enemies raised up against the church, the Bible teaches us that those enemies, when the spirit of Antichrist comes against the church, which is what is happening in America and Western nations right now, what is energizing that is satanic energy, the energy of fallen angels and demons, and witchcraft, the occult, Satanism, all that stuff. And so the physical disruption, the riots, the demonstrations, all those are very real and very, very tragic. Ultimately, they are a tragic manifestation of a deeper conflict in the invisible realm between the fallen angels and the angels, erupting into the physical realm of Earth. Now, there is this, the church in America has adopted numerous heretical teachings. But one of the worst is that we're to be passive and disengaged and complacent and lazy in the last days than to fervently serve the Lord. I'm sure you realize that the vast majority of problems could be changed in America very rapidly if just the people in the church, notice I said the people in the church, I mean the evangelical church, if the people in the evangelical church would make the attempt, first of all, to make sure they're saved. And once they're saved through the power of the Holy Spirit, they would make the attempt to love one another as Christ loved the church and to love those outside the church, not as fools, not as unwise people, but as very wise. Love people outside the church, but always remember simultaneously to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, because it's an evil, dark world. If the Church of Jesus Christ in America would do that, we would seismically shift the dominant territorial spirits and principalities and powers attempting to dominate and control the United States. But worse than that, these principalities and powers, because they're antichrist in nature, they seek to destroy and topple and overthrow the United States. Why? Because the United States is the major nation that pumps the gospel of Jesus Christ into the entire world and shines the light of Christ into the entire world. Despite all of its imperfections, it still is the church, and there's still light shining from this church. So you and I, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to me? Well, the most important thing, we have to teach people, we have to educate people, we have to give them biblical knowledge. You know, I talk about knowledge all the time. I need to emphasize, I'm talking about biblical knowledge, and then other areas of knowledge, but first and foremost, biblical knowledge. And we have to recognize that we were commanded by Jesus not to lose the nations he's given us, but to occupy the land spiritually until he comes, engage in spiritual warfare, reclaim our nation for Christ, and claim and bring forth the prophetic destiny that God has for America and that God has for you and the church. God has a special and unique prophetic destiny for America and the church that was initiated with the Pilgrims and Puritans in the 1600s. You can read and study and see all the documentation regarding that in my brand new book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You need to read the book. Okay, and I'm not saying that for monetary gain. I'm saying that because you need to have that knowledge and information of history and the word and prophecy. Okay, so where we are right now, there are several things behind these riots and looting and stuff, and that is hundreds of millions of dollars flowing in from billionaires who hire professional organizers, professional Marxist revolutionary strategy people, agitators, pros. People have careers being professional revolutionaries in America, by the way. But it's more than that. It's the principalities and powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. If the Church of Jesus Christ would stop behaving like a collective infant, and I'm not saying this, please understand me. My intention was not to say that in a disparaging or arrogant manner. That wasn't my intention. My intention was to kind of like give somebody a pinch to wake up. If the Church of Jesus Christ and its leaders and the average Christian in America continue to hide, retreat, give up land for peace. Israel tried that. Didn't work good. If God's people in America will not realize the prophetic destiny he has for them, then this is what's going to happen. The church is a soft target. They don't attack Muslims for the most part, because people, government, law enforcement, all kinds of people fear Muslims. So they're not going to go down and burn down a mosque or something, because they fear payback, politically or whatever. Now, I may not be a Muslim, okay? But any religion or group, any religion or group that does not have the common sense among its people to stand up and fight for your own survival and right to exist and right to practice your religion is a fool, has a death wish. Why this has occurred as an epidemic in the Christian culture is because you have bad Bible. We have an epidemic in the Christian evangelical church. It's not called coronavirus. It's called, we have an epidemic in the Christian church in America called bad Bible teaching. It's everywhere. It's infectious like the plague. You got people coming away from reading their Bible thinking that Jesus is teaching us to be apathetic, disengaged, not involved, don't vote, don't stand up or occupy the land until he comes, retreat, hide, compromise the scripture. That's what the evangelical church is filled with. It's become like Mystery Babylon. She was a harlot. So the thing is that God's people need to rise. God has a prophetic plan for America that he wants fulfilled. God is very serious about it. And right now, because of the disobedience of God's people in America, other places in the world, and also because of what's happening in the invisible realm, there are spiritual forces that are trying to destroy the prophetic destiny of America, because the prophetic destiny of America involves America using its power, might, prosperity, legal mechanism, or whatever, to still open the doors to preach the gospel to all the nations, to make disciples of all nations, etc., etc. But if we are not going to do that anymore, if we're going to disobey God and not do that anymore, if we're not willing to bring in this massive last day soul harvest that Jesus talked about when he said, look, the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. If we're going to disobey the call of God, and if we're going to refuse our prophetic destiny, then this is what's going to happen. You see, you can pray all the prayers of supernatural protection you want. You can pray all the prayers of spiritual warfare you want. But you are not going to enjoy God's supernatural and divine protection, help, and defense unless you are lined up in your heart in a way that is right with God. And being right with God means having God's priorities. And God's priorities is winning souls for Jesus Christ, winning people to the Lord, preaching the gospel to them. God wants to bring in billions of people globally before he returns and across the United States. That means there has to be a biblical revival, there has to be sound doctrine, and there has to be the outpouring of the authentic Holy Spirit of God. So we need to contend for this spiritually as intercessors and prayer warriors. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. And we need to petition God. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sins individually and collectively. We need to cry out to God and ask him to supernaturally intervene in our nation. And I'm talking about right now. The battle is so fierce right now. We are far more fragile than we realize. But God can rescue us, deliver us, and turn the battle around. Even at this moment, if every one of you would have a burden to pray and to begin to pray like your life depends on it, because it does, and to pray for our nation and to pray for others, if you would just do that for 5 minutes a day, we could change the tide. That's the amount of power that exists. And if you think, well, I'm not pure enough, I'm not holy enough to pray, the devil loves to tell that lie. So what happens is all the men and all the women who want to pray, they feel, because they've committed this sin or that sin, or they did this or they did that, they feel that God's angry with them, and God will not hear their prayers. And so they're afraid, because of their behavior or performance or some sin they committed, they're afraid of going into the throne room of God. Well, you're missing the whole point. God has totally forgiven you of all of your sin, simply if you've asked him and you were born again. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all sin. God doesn't see your sin, past, present, and future. He sees the righteousness of Christ Jesus in you. So you should be supremely confident, and you should come to the throne of God boldly, because he sees you as righteous. So repent of, see, Christians don't even know what to repent of, because they secretly love legalism instead of grace, which means unmerited favor. When Jesus Christ forgives you with his blood, he doesn't even remember your sin. You are totally cleansed of all your sin when you repent, and you have the legal right ordained by God to come boldly to the throne room of grace and ask God for what you need in prayer. And he'll answer it based on righteousness that you did not earn, but righteousness that you acquired by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Man, that should liberate you from being a legalist or being some religious freak. You'll be set free and filled with power from on high, clothed with power from on high. Waves of energy. I'm not talking about some Eastern mystical thing. The energy of God, the energy of the kingdom of God, will move through you and your life. You have an opportunity today to make a choice. You need to shut your ears to the cacophony of noise and distractions. And you need to focus in on listening to the voice of the Lord, listening to the Lord's true servants. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to be poured out upon you, family, and your ministry, and your area. Allow the Spirit of God to be poured out upon you, as depicted in Acts chapter 2. Allow the Holy Spirit, the biblical Holy Spirit, to be poured out upon you so that you can express revival and evangelism all around you, and not going to have to work at it. It's just going to naturally flow from your inner man or inner woman. That will create a massive change in the spiritual atmosphere of America. But we need to get this message out. We've got to ignite people. We've got to educate them. We've got to turn them on to the truth. And so I need you to join with me in this outreach by being a spiritual prayer warrior. And I thank you for praying for me, my family, and this ministry. I want to thank you for spreading the messages far and wide on video and audio to help us do an end run around evil big tech censorship. And then I want to thank you for actually taking the time to pray to the Lord and simply asking the Lord, Lord, how much do you want me to give in terms of a financial contribution or donation to Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church? And then whatever the Lord puts on your heart, whatever, if it's some giant gift, as long as you know you've heard from the Lord, then give it. If it's a modest gift, but you're doing it faithfully every month, well, that we rejoice over that. Because when we have lots of people giving, whatever amount, it all adds up. If everybody does their part, if everybody will accept their little part of the burden according to how God's blessed them, then we can accomplish what we need to accomplish And I feel the weight and pressure of it every day because I recognize the chronological timetable of where we are right now. We are at a juncture that is potentially dangerous, and we need to engage in spiritual warfare like never before. And that's the map. We need to spread this message. This isn't for lightweight Christians who are trying to figure out whether God is alive or not. This is not for lightweight Christians that don't even know what Bible prophecy is about. This is about the meat of God's word. Okay. All right, we're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us and subscribe, join, like, follow all of our social media channels. That would be a big help because there is some people don't play fair. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. I'll be back. This is Paul McGuire. I'll be back in a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. One of the most important things is to not allow your mind to be renewed by the television and mainstream media and fake news and stuff. You know, just like God's word says, we're supposed to renew our minds with the word of God. That means meditate, think about God's word. But if we just give our minds over to the television set, then the television renews our mind, and that's not a good thing. You have to expose yourself to the Word of God on a regular basis. You have to pray to God on a regular basis. You have to fellowship, even when it's electronically, on a regular basis. We are praying and doing what we can to reopen Paradise Mountain Church physically. You can see lots of services and teachings by going to paulmcguire.us and our Roku channel, which is Paul McGuire Ministries. But the critical thing here is that the rules are very complicated, very demanding, and we would have to have a facility easily three times what we have, which would be a huge cost. Right now, you can't even comply with all the health regulations. They keep changing. And at the present moment, it's not legal to open for church. And prior to that, the rules were so intense, and really, unless you had a mega church, unless you hired a huge staff just to implement all the coronavirus, you know, safety rules, you'd have to hire extra staff just to implement the coronavirus rules. And there's no guarantee you'd pass because it's very they're very stringent rules. So there's an anti-Christian bias here too. We understand we don't want to spread the transmission of the diseases, but how come certain establishments can be open where they can, quote, spread the virus, but churches are deemed, you know, low on the list? The only reason that happens, do you think that they would go after a Muslim synagogue? And not a synagogue, a Muslim church? Do you think that they'd go after a Muslim church or a Muslim gathering? No, they wouldn't, because the Muslims wouldn't put up for it. There's nothing wrong with standing your ground legally and saying, I'm not going to put up with it. I mean, assuming you're saying something sane and rational, if you're gonna say, I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna protest and you know, don't want this, but you're advocating something that's like crazy, or you know, you have no credibility. If you're gonna walk on the platform of crazy and try to change people's minds, really. I'm not trying to be rude to you, but you got to stay home until you've done your homework. Some of the messages I get on coronavirus and stuff on different social media platforms are really, I don't respond to them because I'm not interested really in insulting people, but it's embarrassing. I understand what they're trying to say. Believe me, I do. Understand what they're trying to say. I understand the point that they're making. The problem is the way they make it backfires. And we don't want to do that. See, it's all about winning the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Why is it about winning? It's about winning because nobody's going to come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior unless we win souls. The winning of souls implies that there's a battle. There's a tug of war over a person, whether or not they're going to come to Christ. And we play a role in that as a soul winner. So it's about winning. And the way you win is you effectively communicate the truth. If you non-effectively communicate the truth, you're not going to win. You're going to lose souls. People are going to walk away from Christianity and Jesus, and they're going to want nothing to do with it. I'd say a huge percentage of the people that we minister to through this ministry and who I minister to, a huge percentage of people we reach all over the world are backsliders, are people that once knew Christ, they were alienated somehow along the line in their Christian experience, and they walked away from Christianity and Jesus. Sometimes they've walked away for 10, 20 years. They read one of my books, they hear one of these messages, and many people get saved, and many people return to Christ. Many people return to Christ. And that's not an accident, because I prayed before I even had a ministry, I would regularly pray to God, Lord, allow me to win the people to Christ that are the hardest, the most resistant, and the most antagonistic towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are the people that I want to win, Lord. Why did I pray that? Because that's what I was. So they can be one, Jesus Christ. And you, God has given you the power to do it. And that includes your sons, your daughters, people you know. It's not all what you say, but when you say something, you better know what you're talking about. Because they'll eat you for lunch if they catch you in one mistake. You know that. In any case, this is about winning the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Not losing. It's not the will of God. This is not God's prophetic time for his church to lose souls for Jesus Christ. But that's what's happening. See, the church isn't willing to be honest before God in repentance. One very reputable pollster came out with a poll, this was like 6 months ago, which said that witchcraft and Wicca was the fastest growing religion in America. And then about a week or two later, it came out with another poll which said witchcraft and Wicca, along with atheism, are tied for the fastest growing religions in America. Notice that evangelical Christianity was not even on the list as a fastest growing religion in America. Instead, witchcraft and atheism are the fastest growing religions in America. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not effectively and supernaturally being communicated to the people. Yes, there are a lot of people doing a lot of blah, 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 blah about, you know, they're talking about Jesus and the gospel, but they're not effectively communicating the gospel. That's when you actually connect with a person's heart, mind, and soul and win them to Christ. That is the purpose of this ministry, is to educate and equip God's people to do that. And if you care about souls, like you say you do, if you have a burden for souls, and I can't understand how anybody who's a Christian would not have a burden for souls, then you have to join us as a prayer warrior, as somebody who spreads our message, who makes donations and contributions. We need your help to effectively win the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. We're talking about people that could be your sons or daughters or grandkids or nieces or whatever, or friends or whatever. They're in the group of people that we want to reach. There's a reason why they're all collectively hostile towards Christianity. They've been indoctrinated. They've been brainwashed. They've been programmed to hate Christianity. Well, I've written entire books on how to deal with that, like Conquering the Matrix, would teach you how to deprogram yourself and anyone. The Greatest Battle, Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2. Let's get equipped. Let's get the biblical knowledge we need. Let's get filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's do what Joshua and Caleb did when they said to the Lord, we are well able to take the land. So in Jesus' name, we are well able. You and I and other faithful brothers and sisters, we are well able to take the land. Visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and join us and help us spread this message far and wide.